tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to the silsila Dimensions of Islamic Life. Alhamdulillah, in today's program and episode we will discuss the biography of a great Imam of Hadith, Imam Muhammad bin Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, who is the great Imam of Hadith, subhanallah. When we say the books of Ahadith, the very first thing that comes to mind is the Sahih Bukhari of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala. Why? Because he strived so much to accumulate and to present this collection of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with such great care that it became a wonderful work of the works of ahadith, subhanallah. As the ulama ikram, they say that the most authentic book after the book of Allah, meaning after the Holy Quran, it is Sahih Bukhari, subhanallah. So today we are going to dive into the biography of this great Imam of Hadith, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Before that, let's first and foremost subhanallah recite a beautiful durood in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this regard, there is a wonderful narration in which the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he states that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The trend of writing down the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not something that started in the time of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Subhanallah, it started in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is narrated that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that I used to write down every hadith to memorize which I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, he used to write down every hadith that he would hear from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then some people of Quraysh, they stopped him and they told him that you write every single saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing that he is a human who speaks in the state of anger as well as in the state of happiness. And then after that, Sayyidina Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, after that, I stopped writing the hadith and I related it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, write down everything. And then he said, pointing towards his blessed mouth, that I swear by the one in whose hand my life is, nothing but truth is uttered by this mouth. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So yes, this is also wahi. Yes, this is also the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the shair very beautifully says, that guftay u guftay Allah buwad, garche az hulqume Abdullah buwad. That whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, it is the statement of Allah, although it is emanating from the vocal cords of a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. So yes, whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, it was divinely bestowed to him and then he uttered it. The Quran bears testimony of the same fact, and the Quranic teaching is that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't speak of his own whims and fancies, but he speaks of that revelation that is inspired to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. So yes, many sahaba and if you want to know the number, subhanAllah, the Sahaba were many in number, alhamdulillah. And amongst those Sahaba, there were those Sahaba who used to preserve the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not the biography of, not all the Sahaba is known, about 10,000 Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more or less as such, whose biographies are preserved. And there are those 10,000 Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they then narrated those ahadith to the tabi'een, to their later generation, to their students. And this is how the blessings of ahadith have reached us, alhamdulillah. Then a great number of Sahaba, when they passed away from the world, then some of the tabi'een, they then carried this mission of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of spreading the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to another level, to carry it forward, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that reached them through the Sahaba. And those tabi'een, they were Sayyidina Rabi bin Sabih, Sayyidina Musa bin Uqba, Sayyidina Imam Malik, Sayyidina Imam Ibn Jurayj, Sayyidina Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, Sayyidina Imam Awza'i, Sayyidina Sufyan al-Thawri. These are the tabi'e tabi'een. But before them, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala, who was a tabi'i himself, he relayed those hadith and those narrations to his students, subhanallah, to the tabi'e tabi'een. And this is how in the era of the tabi'een, tabi'een are those, for clarity's sake, sahaba are those who have seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the state of Iman, and they have passed away in the state of Iman. And simply put, who are the tabi'een? Tabi'een are those who have seen the Sahaba, who have met the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the state of Iman, and have passed away in the state of Iman. And who are tabi'e tabi'een? Tabi'e tabi'een are those who have met the tabi'een of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and subhanallah. So this is the golden era of Islam. And in this era, subhanAllah, everywhere there would be teachings of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Everybody is actively learning and teaching the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, starting from the era of the Ashabi Suffa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, right down till the era of the Tabi'een, Tabi Tabi'een, and then those later generation that came after them. Subhanallah, during the reign of Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, after the period of Khulafa'i Rashidun, in this work of collecting the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, narrating it, mentioning it to others, listening from the others, and preserving it, it continued. Subhanallah, there came a time when Imam Malik, rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, he documented the narrations and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the book form, and he came up with Mu'tah Imam Malik, subhanallah. Yes, these were some of the earliest works of the books of ahadith, subhanallah. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala, who came way after the era of the four imams, alhamdulillah, and he was greatly motivated by this knowledge of hadith, subhanallah. And it is mentioned that from the age of 10, he started learning the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and memorizing them. And by the time he reached the age of 11, he even surpassed the greats of the time. While he was in his childhood, subhanallah, his ustaz, from whom he used to learn a hadith from, once he mentioned a narration, and Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala ali then corrected him because he mixed up certain names, and he said, no, it is like this. And then later on, the great imam, he went and checked up his work, and he found out that yes, it is exactly as this boy is saying, subhanallah. And then he made corrections in his book based on the findings of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala, who was only a child of 11 year old, subhanallah. This was the expertise of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, while he was a student, he was still learning the knowledge of hadith, and he would preserve everything that he would learn from the works of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala, while we discuss his biography, his book is termed as Sahih, Al-Jami' al-Sahih lil-Bukhari. So, Sahih is a book, right? It's a book of hadith in which only the collection of Sahih hadith is compiled, such as Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, subhanallah. And the books where few non-Sahih hadith are also found can still be called Sahih due to the number of Sahih hadith being dominant over the narrations that are not Sahih. And this is one type of hadith works, hadith collection that is called Sahih. There are six famous authentic collections of hadith known as Sahih Sitta, and starting from Sahih Bukhari, then Sahih Muslim, then it is your Jami Tirmidhi, then it is Sunan Abi Dawood, Sunan Ibn Majah, and then lastly Sunan Nasai. So these are six famous, most authentic collections of the books of hadith, meaning Sahih Sitta. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala, his Sahih that he wrote, he compiled, it stands right on top, subhanallah, with the fewest weak narrations. And majority of it is Sahih Hadith, subhanallah. So yes, he set up the standard, the gold standard for the Sahih collection of the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There are other types of books of Hadith besides Sahih, in terms of the authenticity and so on. There's a type of the collection of ahadith that is called Jami. Then you have your Sunan. Then you have your Musnad. The examples of which can be Jami. Let's say, for example, Sahih Bukhari was also Jami. Jami is a type of hadith book which comprises of the ahadith pertaining to the eight subjects. The subjects of the ahadith pertaining to the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the morals and ethics, the adab. Then it must also have a chapter dedicated to the tafsir of the Holy Quran. It must also have the relevant chapters relating to the aqaid and Islamic faith and theology. Then you also have Kitabul Fitan, that must be also a part of it. Then you have Asharatu Sa'ah, that is signs of the end time. And then there are hadith pertaining to the ahkam, the sharia related issues. And then the hadith related to manaqib and praises of the pious predecessors and praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Ahlul Bayt, the Sahaba, and so on. So these are the eight chapters. If these eight chapters are found in any book of hadith, that is the collection of hadith, that can be termed as Jami'. Then you have Sunan. Sunan are the books of ahadith in which ahadith related to the fiqh issues are recorded chapter-wise, like Sunan Abi Dawud, Sunan Ibn Majah, and so on. Then you have Musnad. In Musnad, you have the books of ahadith in which ahadith are recorded in the order of the Sahaba, like Musnad Ahmad Ibn Hanbal, and so on. Then you have Mu'jam. Then you have Mustakhraj. Then Mustadrak, Juz, Mufrad, Arba'een, Marasil, Amali, and so on. So alhamdulillah, today we are focusing on the Sahih collection of the ahadith that was compiled by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, and we'll focus also on the life of this great Imam, subhanallah, who has contributed to the knowledge of hadith, mashallah, in this field, and has left his legacy by the name Sahih Bukhari that we all know and familiar with. Alhamdulillah, he has written many other books such as Kitab al-Tariq and so on, mashallah. So these are some of his noteworthy works of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala ali. It is mentioned that when he was a child and his father passed away, Allah Almighty has decreed for him to lose his eyesight in his childhood. His beloved mother, she would be deeply disturbed by this, and she was aggrieved by his state. And she would cry and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously. And there came a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mercy upon her and took all her pain away. And it happened so that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala's mother, one night when she fell asleep, the great Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, came into her dream and said, Allah Almighty has returned your son's eyesight to him on account of your du'as. When the mother woke in the morning and looked at her son, she said, Alhamdulillah, his sight has returned. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So yes, this was a miracle during the childhood of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and this was due to the barakah of his mother's du'a. Many have become the greats just by the barakah of the mother's du'as, subhanallah. Look at the example of Sayyidina Bayezid Bustami rahmatullahi ta'ala. Look at the example of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala. Look at the example of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. In this instance, Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. So the same child later on became the great Imam Muhammad bin Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, the compiler of Sahih Bukhari. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala was born on the 13th of Shawwal in the year 194 Hijri on a Friday in Bukhara. Bukhara is a city in Uzbekistan, and Samarkand and Bukhara, they are two famous cities in Uzbekistan. They still there today. If you are a traveler and if you are traveling to that region, make sure to see, subhanallah, the beautiful architecture that is there. The madrasas, the buildings still stand tall, and their legacy still continues in some way, alhamdulillah. So yes, Bukhara, therefore he is known as Bukhari. And Uzbekistan is a country in Central Asia, if you did not know. And Bukhara is a prime city in the country Uzbekistan. And they used to be on the Silk Route. During the old Chinese Silk Route that used to go all the way to Europe. And they were the famous cities in the olden days. And then there came a time when the city was greatly disturbed by wars and some undesirable events that took place. And there was a lot of disaster in the city. So prior to all of this, it was, subhanallah, a center of learning. Samarkand and Bukhara, they were the centers of learning. Samarkand, Bukhara, and then you have Baghdad, subhanallah, Baghdad Sharif. You have Makkah and Medina. They have always been the central attraction, subhanallah, of the Islamic world and the global attention. And then you had, mashallah, in Spain, even in Andalusia, you had Qurtuba, subhanallah, another great center of learning, the Islamic city of the past, mashallah. So there was also Shiraz, that was a very famous, great center of learning. So Bukhara was known as a center of learning, great place. And today, if you visit Bukhara in this country of Uzbekistan, you can still see those madrasas and those heritage sites that are there. However, coming back to our discussion, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, he belonged to that region, that area of Bukhara. And his name, subhanallah, although he is known as Imam Bukhari, everyone calls him Imam Bukhari. And thus, we don't realize that he has a name. Bukhari is not actually his name. That is just his affiliation with the area where he was from. And his actual name is Muhammad, subhanallah. And his appellation is Abu Abdullah. And his title, subhanallah, he has great titles. One of his titles is Amirul Mu'minin fil Hadith. Another title of his is Hafizul Hadith. Amirul Mu'minin fil Hadith, this title was preserved only for few people in the entire history of Islam. And Imam Bukhari is one of them, subhanallah. We have Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi ta'ala, who is also known as Amir al-Mu'minin fil Hadith. And some great scholars of Arabia used to call Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatu rahman, Amir al-Mu'minin fil Hadith, subhanallah, they referred to him as. So there were very few people in the history of Islam that were known and that were addressed by this title of being Amir al-Mu'minin fil Hadith, leader of believers in the field of Hadith, subhanallah. And he was also known as by the title of Hafizul Hadith. Who is a Hafizul Hadith? Hafizul Hadith is that individual who has met the minimum criteria of memorizing 100,000 ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the chain of narrators. Not only the matan, meaning the hadith itself, but he must also know the chain of narrators. So 100,000 ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the bare minimum requirement of becoming Hafizul Hadith. And there have been, subhanAllah, many Hafizul Hadith, but none like Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, subhanAllah. He had committed to memory over 500,000 of the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, way above the threshold of 100,000, subhanAllah. And the father of Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Sayyidina Ismail bin Ibrahim, he was a student of the Imam of millions of Malikis, Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Yes, Imam Bukhari's father was a student of Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi and benefited from the company of the great Wali, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala. His piety and righteousness was such that he rahimahullah ta'ala protected his wealth from doubtful matters. And at the time of his passing, he said, according to my knowledge, there is not a single dirham from my wealth which is doubtful, subhanAllah. So when we leave behind our wealth, which is free of any doubt, it is all halal money. When we are earning our income, we have to ensure that each and every cent that goes into our account, that is in our wallet, that is kept at our homes, that we buy groceries from, we buy our food from, we buy the clothes from using the same money. Each and every cent and penny must be halal. Alhamdulillah, Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi ta'ala, his father, Sayyidina Ismail, rahimahullah ta'ala, he made sure that his child grew up on 100% halal income, subhanallah. So yes, you might be thinking, why are we stressing so much? Don't we all earn halal earnings? Yes, we all do. But many of us may not be aware that, what is halal or what is haram because of our lack of knowledge of the halal and haram aspects of our earnings. So if you want to know more, inshallah azza wa jal, study the fiqh of Islam and get to know. Because if you are into business, then it is already obligatory upon you to know the laws and the rulings regarding making deals, purchase and sale agreements, and so on and so forth. So yes, alhamdulillah, if you're a businessman and if you're an employee, it becomes important for you to learn the laws pertaining to the employment rules. If you're an employer, there are people working under you, then you need to know the Islamic laws governing that specific part of the Islamic jurisprudence that deals with handling people, managing people, and what are your rights, what are their rights, so we don't violate the rights of each other. And that way we can make sure that whatever we are earning, it is truly and 100% halal in the light of Islamic Sharia, inshallah azza wa jal. So now we were discussing that how Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala, his father, he ensured that each and every part, the each and every penny that he earned and that he had left behind for his son, for his family, it was all from halal income, subhanallah. Look at the outcome. He had a son, subhanallah, later on, who became the great Imam of Islam, subhanallah, Imam Muhammad bin Ismail al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala. Inshallah, azza wa jal, we are going to explore more about the biography of this Imam. Before that, inshallah, azza wa jal, as we always listen to a beautiful kalam and some nasiha, subhanallah, inshallah, azza wa jal, go and listen to a beautiful kalam in the praise of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Together with that, a wonderful nasiha as well. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Tere jaya, koi nahi, yahi bole sidra wale chamne jahan ke thale sabhi maine chhan dale tere paaye ka na paaya tujhe yak ne yak banaya tujhe yak ne yak banaya tujhe yak ne yak banaya tere khulq ko haq ne azim kaha teri khilq ko haq ne jameel kiya کوئی تجھ سا ہوا ہے نہ ہوگا شہا تیرے خالق حسن و ادا کی قسم ادا کی قسم ادا کی قسم
دنیا پہ آیا کوئی تیری نام مثال آقا دنیا پہ آیا کوئی تیری نام مثال آقا لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا
مکے رہن والے مدینے جان والے مکے رہن والے مدینے جان والے ٹھڈے کھان والے نو سینے لان والے ٹھڈے کھان والے نو سینے لان والے تیرے باجو ڈگے نو کوئی نہیں سنبھالدا تیرے باجو ڈگے نو کوئی نہیں سنبھالدا
لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا آقا لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا
اب میری نگاہوں میں جچتا نہیں کوئی جیسے میرے سرکار ہیں ایسا نہیں کوئی تیری آتے صفتاں دا کوئی بھی حساب نہیں تیری آتے صفتاں دا کوئی بھی حساب نہیں تو تے کتھے تیرے غلاماں دا جواب نہیں تو تے کتھے تیرے غلاماں دا جواب نہیں حوراں نوں تو روپ ونڈے حبشی بلال دا حوراں نوں تو روپ ونڈے حبشی بلال دا
لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا
چہرہ تیرا نور ونڈے ساری کائنات نوں رب وی درود بھیجے ایک تیری ذات نو چہرہ تیرا نور ونڈے ساری کائنات نو چہرہ تیرا نور ونڈے ساری کائنات نو رب وی درود بھیجے ایک تیری ذات نو رب وی درود بھیجے ایک تیری ذات نو شیدائے زمانہ تیرے حسن و جمال دا شیدائے زمانہ تیرے حسن و جمال دا
لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا
اشارے سے چاند چیر دیا چھپے ہوئے خور کو پھیر لیا گئے ہوئے دن کو اثر کیا یہ تاب و توان تمہارے لیے کر کے دعا سونا سورج نو موڑ دا کر کے دعا سونا سورج نو موڑ دا آپے چند ਤੋੜਦਾ ਤੇ ਆਪੇ ਚੰਨ ਜੋੜਦਾ ਆਪੇ ਚੰਨ ਤੋੜਦਾ ਤੇ ਆਪੇ ਚੰਨ ਜੋੜਦਾ ਬਿਗੜੀ ਬਣਾਵੇ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਬੀ ਦਾ ਇਸ਼ਾਰਾ ਹਾਂ ਬਿਗੜੀ ਬਣਾਵੇ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਬੀ ਦਾ ਇਸ਼ਾਰਾ
ਲੱਭ ਕੇ ਲੈ ਆਵਾਂ ਕਿੱਥੋਂ ਸੋਹਣਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਆਕਾ ਲੱਭ ਕੇ ਲੈ ਆਵਾਂ ਕਿੱਥੋਂ ਸੋਹਣਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਦਾ
ਕਹਿੰਦੀ ਏ ਹਲੀਮਾ ਮੁਖ ਵੇਖ ਲਜਪਾਲ ਦਾ ਕਹਿੰਦੀ ਏ ਹਲੀਮਾ ਮੁਖ ਵੇਖ ਲਜਪਾਲ ਦਾ ਲੱਭ ਕੇ ਲੈ ਆਵਾਂ ਕਿੱਥੋਂ ਸੋਹਣਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਦਾ ਲੱਭ ਕੇ ਲੈ ਆਵਾਂ ਕਿੱਥੋਂ ਸੋਹਣਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਦਾ ਚੌਦਵੀਂ ਦਾ ਚੰਨ ਨਾਲੇ ਅਰਸ਼ਾਂ ਦਾ ਤਾਰਾ ਚੌਦਵੀਂ ਦਾ ਚੰਨ ਨਾਲੇ ਅਰਸ਼ਾਂ ਦਾ ਤਾਰਾ ਕਸਮ ਖੁਦਾ ਦੀ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਸਭ ਨਾਲੋਂ ਪਿਆਰਾ ਕਸਮ ਖੁਦਾ ਦੀ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਸਭ ਨਾਲੋਂ ਪਿਆਰਾ ਹੋਕਾ ਦੇਵਾਂ ਤੇਰੇ ਮੈਂ ਸੱਚਿਆਂ ਪਿਆਰਾਂ ਦਾ ਹੋਕਾ ਦੇਵਾਂ ਤੇਰੇ ਮੈਂ ਸੱਚਿਆਂ ਪਿਆਰਾਂ ਦਾ ਜਿਉਂਦਾ ਏ ਜ਼ਹੂਰੀ ਨਾ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਤੇਰੇ ਯਾਰਾਂ ਦਾ ਜਿਉਂਦਾ ਏ ਜ਼ਹੂਰੀ ਨਾ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਤੇਰੇ ਯਾਰਾਂ ਦਾ ਮੰਗਤਾ ਮੈਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਦਰ ਤੇਰੀ ਆਲ ਦਾ ਹਾਂ ਮੰਗਤਾ ਮੈਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਦਰ ਤੇਰੀ ਆਲ ਦਾ
ਲੱਭ ਕੇ ਲੈ ਆਵਾਂ ਕਿੱਥੋਂ ਸੋਹਣਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਦਾ ਲੱਭ ਕੇ ਲੈ ਆਵਾਂ ਕਿੱਥੋਂ ਸੋਹਣਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਦਾ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਤੇ ਆਇਆ ਕੋਈ ਤੇਰੀ ਨਾ ਮਿਸਾਲ ਦਾ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਤੇ ਆਇਆ ਕੋਈ ਤੇਰੀ ਨਾ ਮਿਸਾਲ ਦਾ ਲੱਭ ਕੇ ਲੈ ਆਵਾਂ ਕਿੱਥੋਂ ਸੋਹਣਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਲੱਭ ਕੇ ਲੈ ਆਵਾਂ ਕਿੱਥੋਂ ਸੋਹਣਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਦਾ
The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam told us that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall address a person saying, Ya ibn Adam, maridtu fa lam ta'udni. That, O son of Adam, I was ill and you did not visit me. The person will say, he'll be amazed, he'll, you know, Ya Rabbi, he'll say, Oh my Lord, كيف أعودك وأنسى رب العالمين He'll say, Oh my Lord, how could I visit you when you are the Lord of all the worlds? How do I visit you? How is it possible for you to be ill? And of course, Allah Ta'ala is free from this. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala replies, أما علمت أن عبدي فلانا مريضا فلم تعوده Were you not aware that so and so of my servants was ill, but you did not visit him? أما علمت أنك لو عدته لوجدتني عنده. Did you not know that my servant who is ill, you did not visit him, but oh my servant, had you visited him, you would have found me with him. Wow! Really, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connects His mercy, His presence with that individual who is sick, that individual who is ill. When you visit someone ill, you are walking into a space where the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends. It's not about going there and curing their pain. We're not all doctors. But it's about visiting them and showing your presence, showing compassion, showing you care, showing you are worried about them, showing if they require some help, you are there for them. You are there for support. Even a few minutes by the bedside can earn you the forgiveness, blessings, nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the next time you hear of somebody who is unwell, do not delay to go and visit them. Visit them. Do dua for them. And remember, you are visiting a home in which there is the divine mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Beautiful naat recited by our beloved Rukneshura, Maulana Haji Abdul Habib Attari, Hafizahullah Ta'ala. And then we listen to the Nasiha, subhanallah, as well, from the great Muballigh of our Dawat Islami. Alhamdulillah, we are back and we were discussing the blessings of this great Imam, Imam Muhammad bin Ismail al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala. The champion in the field of hadith, the rank and the status that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah had attained in the field of hadith is second to none. He knew hundreds of ahadith by heart, and the special grace and the generosity of Allah Azza wa Jal and his beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam were upon him. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala once had a dream in which he saw that he was removing the flies that were sitting on the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After seeing this dream, he was very much concerned, and he knew that flies never sat on the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what is the matter? Why am I seeing this dream? So the noble scholars, when he approached them for the interpretation, they made the interpretation of this dream, congratulating him and saying that Mubarak to you, for you are clarifying and removing the confusion that has affected the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, subhanallah. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was that great scholar of Islam who has removed all those confusions that were there regarding the narrations of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of them being authentic. Subhanallah. How he would note down the ahadith. It is mentioned that Imam Bukhari visited Imam Muhammad, the great student of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, and began to learn the book of Salah in Fiqh. When Imam Muhammad rahimahullah ta'ala observed his inclination towards the science of hadith, he rahimahullah said to him, go and study the science of hadith. Thus, when Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala accepted the advice of his teacher and began to attain knowledge of hadith, all of those who were present saw that he, rahimahullah, surpassed all of the imams of hadith. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. This was his great expertise in the field of hadith. And he had gone through many difficulties on this path. Yes, the path of knowledge is not always easy. Look at the life of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak, rahmatullahi ta'ala, what he had to endure to attain and to acquire the knowledge of Islam. During his studies, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala ali would sometimes eat dry grass to survive. On an average, he would only eat 2 or 3 almonds a day to survive. Once he fell ill and the doctor said that his insides had become dry due to constantly eating dry bread, this is how he would survive, by constantly eating dry bread on a daily basis. And imagine if we had to eat and survive on dry bread. Even now when we are presented with fresh bread, we still remove the edges. Some of us, we remove the edges because they are a little bit stiff, the crust of the bread. And you know, we are spoiled to that extent. But look at this great Imam, subhanAllah, he would eat dry bread and survive on dry bread and still learn the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that time, he said that I have been eating dry bread for 40 years and I did not touch condiments at all during this time. He removed himself from the luxuries of the world. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Muhammad bin Hatim, he says that I heard from Hashid bin Ismail and another scholar who both said that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi accompanied us. This is about his age, at a young age when he would pursue the knowledge of hadith. And they said that they were his companions at a young age. And Imam Bukhari accompanied them at a young age to the scholars of Basra in order to study the science of hadith. Besides Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, all of us would write down ahadith in order to memorize them. But Imam Bukhari would come and learn the ahadith every day and he wouldn't write down anything. So we thought that maybe he is not really serious about his studies of hadith. So after 16 days had passed, we scolded Imam Bukhari and said to him that, why are you wasting all this time? You know, you come here and then you go without having written any ahadith. After hearing this, Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he said, bring what you have written. So we each brought our pages and Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi ta'ala, began to read the ahadith from memory. And he would read the ahadith from memory and they would check in the written work if Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, is transmitting the hadith correctly. And he kept on reciting many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam until he had reached the number 15,000 ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After hearing this, those two individuals are saying, we felt as though it was Imam Bukhari who had dictated these narrations to us. Subhanallah. And they even rectified whatever inconsistencies that were there in their narrations from the dictation of Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Subhanallah. Such was the profound intellect and the memory power of this great Imam, subhanallah. He used to capture the ahadith to memory at such a rapid rate, subhanallah. And he had committed so many ahadith to memory at such a tender age. These are just the 15,000 ahadith that he narrated on the spot to his fellow colleagues, alhamdulillah. And it is said that if Imam Bukhari would look at a book once, he, rahimahullah, would memorize it. During the initial stages of his studies, he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, had memorized 70,000 ahadith, and this number would reach 300,000 later on. Sayyidina Sulaiman bin Mujahid rahimahullahu ta'ala once visited Imam Muhammad bin Salam rahimahullahu ta'ala, and Sayyidina Muhammad bin Salam said to Sayyidina Sulaiman bin Mujahid that if you had come a short while before, I would have shown you that child who has memorized 70,000 ahadith. Subhanallah. Hearing the astonishing fact, a desire arose in the heart of Sayyidina Sulaiman to meet Imam Bukhari. Thus, after leaving the presence of Sayyidina Muhammad bin Salam, Sayyidina Sulaiman bin Mujahid began to search for Imam Bukhari. When he met Imam Bukhari, Sayyidina Sulaiman then said, are you the one who has memorized 70,000 ahadith? To which Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, said, yes, I am that memorizer of the ahadith. In fact, I know even more ahadith than this. And I am also aware of the dates of birth, places of residence, and dates of death for most of the noble sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, and tabi'een that I narrate hadith from. Subhanallah. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, was asked, is there any medicine to strengthen the memory? And he replied that, I'm not aware of any medicine, however, I have found studying with utmost concentration and steadfastness to be very beneficial for the memory. Subhanallah. So yes, there's no magical pills, you know, as we can hear from the advice of Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that there is no magic pill that we can eat and we can, you know, excel at our studies. No, it is hard work. It is consistency, persistence. Perseverance, concentration, full concentration, steadfastness. And then only we can crack this code. Other than that, we are just pursuing, you know, in vain if we have not put in the efforts and we still want the amazing results. Yes, we all want amazing results, but not all of us can put a tremendous amount of work into it. So therefore, that is the reason that few of us succeed and many of us fail, because as the desire is that we must all gain amazing results. But when it comes to putting the effort, the proper effort that should be going into our studies, we are not really doing it. So as a result, it reflects in the outcome. That is a great advice of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi for our youth out there, the youngsters who are schooling, who are, if you are going to college, if you are enrolled in universities, you know, different faculties of science, commerce, you know, physics, maths, biology, in any field, in the field of Islamic theology, the students of Jamia, the madrasa children, it applies to everyone in every field. Yes. So inshallah azza wa jal, the advice of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala is, I would once again reiterate that when he was asked, is there a special medicine that you take to strengthen the memory? He replied, I am not aware of any medicine. However, I have found studying with utmost concentration and steadfastness to be very beneficial for the memory. Subhanallah. And Imam Muhammad bin Ishaq bin Khuzaima, he says that I did not see a scholar or memorizer of hadith greater than Imam Muhammad bin Ismail Bukhari rahimahullah, such that it was said, if Muhammad bin Ismail does not know a hadith, it is not a hadith. Allahu Akbar. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that whenever I intend to write a hadith in my book, meaning Sahih Bukhari, what he would do, how Sahih Bukhari was so widely accepted, subhanallah. Yes, the secret is here. He says that whenever I intended to write hadith in my book, meaning Sahih Bukhari is referring to, I would first perform ghusl and offer two cycles of salah, nafl salah. I have selected the ahadith written in this book from 600,000 ahadith. How many ahadith did he know? 600,000 ahadith, more than 500,000. And then he says, I spent 16 years compiling this book, and this book is a proof between me and Allah Almighty. Subhanallah. He has left such a beautiful legacy for the Ummah. Dear brothers, today we are paying our tribute to this great Imam, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, for his services in the field of hadith, in the field of knowledge, for enlightening us with the beautiful words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, making us reach all the way to us. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, he wrote several books. Besides Sahih Bukhari, he wrote other books as well. But no other book attained the acceptance and the renown that Sahih Bukhari attained. Imam Abu Zaid Marwazi rahimahullah ta'ala, he states that I was once sleeping in Makkah in between Maqam Ibrahim and Hajar Aswad, the Black Stone. When I saw the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dream, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Abu Zaid, why do you not teach from our book? I asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may my life be sacrificed upon you. Which book is yours? The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the book of Muhammad bin Ismail, referring to Sahih Bukhari. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regards it as his book, because this is the book about his noble words, subhanallah. And Sahih Bukhari was the choice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As devotees of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is said in regards to Sahih Bukhari, as-sahhul kutubi ba'da kitabillahi as-sahihul Bukhari. The most authentic book after the Quran is Sahih Bukhari. The full name of the book is Al-Jami'ul Musnadus Sahih Al-Mukhtasar min Umuri Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa sunanihi wa ayyamihi. Allama Ali Qari rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that the predecessors, the pious predecessors, have written that if Sahih Bukhari is read at the time of difficulty, the difficulty will be alleviated. If it is found on a ship, the ship will not sink. And if it is read at the time of drought, rain will fall. Subhanallah. Imam Asiluddin rahimahullah ta'ala said that I completed Sahih Bukhari 120 times for my own difficulties and the difficulties of others, and all wishes and needs were fulfilled. All of these blessings are due to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Aimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi states that Sahih Bukhari is completed during calamities and through its blessings, and with the grace of Allah Almighty, calamities are averted. One can only attain success by struggling day and night and by having the passion to fulfill one's goal. Those who waste their days on useless activities and spend their nights sleeping in heedlessness can never ascend the ladder of success. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala was, on the other hand, he was very distant from living the life of luxury. We just learned from his account that for 40 years he would only survive on dry bread and he wouldn't even touch any condiments. And he had inherited the avoidance of doubtful matters from his father. Yes, not haram matters, we are talking about doubtful matters. Haram is very further away from the friends of Allah, from the saints, from the awliya Allah. But even from doubtful things, he will remove himself. He will stay far away from things in which there was a doubt. And he, rahimahullah ta'ala, he also displayed exemplary conduct when it came to the rights of people. His devotion to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such that he would keep the blessed hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with him at all times. And he, rahimahullah, would eat very little and he would safeguard his intentions. Yes. Therefore, as we are speaking of intention, the first hadith of Bukhari Sharif is about intention. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Subhanallah. The beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which Imam Bukhari began with. And he would always safeguard his intention. And intention was so important to him that he mentioned it as the first hadith of Bukhari, that the deeds are considered by the intentions. And his passion for worshipping was also matchless. He, rahimahullah ta'ala, would stay awake all night and worship. He would offer an abundance of nawafil salah, and he would keep nafil fast, wake up every night and recite 10 juz of the Holy Quran, complete one Quran daily in Ramadan. And completing the Quran in Taraweeh was also part of his routine. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala was a farmer and a trader. Yes, this was his financial life. How did he earn his livelihood? He was a farmer, he used to farm, and he was a trader, he used to do business. And he received a lot of wealth from his father's inheritance, which he would give as muzaraba or silent partnership. He, rahimahullah ta'ala, once said that I receive 500 dirhams every month and I spend all of it on acquiring knowledge. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So yes, you can never really put a price to knowledge. Whatever money was there, he used to spend this money that has no value in the hereafter to earn the currency of the hereafter. Subhanallah, that is knowledge of deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us through the life of the and the biography of this great Imam of Islam, Imam Muhammad bin Ismail al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, ameen, bijahin nabi lameen. Inshallah, we'll come back to you with another topic of discussion. Until then, keep reciting Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.